All right. So first of all, I want to thank Mindy and Henry for sponsoring today. Leaving Nishmas Mindy's mother, Meira Ba-Zuchar. The yard site was Monday, the second day of Rosh Chodesh. She's also Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's yard site, by the way. I feel like Henry sponsors every week somehow. He's put this whole thing together, but anyway, thank you for that. I did not know Mindy's mother when she was healthy, but I know how incredibly good Henry and Mindy were to her when I did know her. Okay. I felt pressure from Josh last week in terms of what Parsha it is. But I thought if I could do it on Sfiras Omer, which is in Parshas Amor, which we will be reading tomorrow, he wouldn't complain because it's Sfiras Omer even in America. I admit this is an idea we talked about previously, but it's an idea that I really love. And I think I have something slightly different to say about it and a slightly different way to present it. There's the narrow issue we're going to discuss, and then there's the issue that it touches on. The issue that it touches on is that as from Jews, I think we're instinctively uncomfortable with the idea of like development of halacha or progression of halacha. But I think Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah that has changed over time. Meaning the mitzvah, of course, has not changed. We're supposed to count 49 days from the second day of Pesach, you know, until Shavuos. That part hasn't changed. What's changed is the mood. What's changed is, you know, the how we're supposed to feel during Sfira. I think it's so subtle that most of us are unaware of it, and it doesn't really register with us. If I start with this simple question, you know, what's the mood supposed to be like during Sfira? So we all know that Sfira is a time of mourning. Okay. But likewise, I assume we all know that you don't find the slightest hint of that in the Torah, right? That's a later event. I think most of us would say that's a Gemara that says, you know, the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva died during Sfiras HaOmer. But I think there's something much more going on, and it's obvious, you just have to look for it. The first thing is, if we start, let me pull up. Oh, wait, that's not what I wanted to do. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get back to you. Hang on. Okay, share screen. See if I could find it. Okay, does everybody see the sheet? Good.
Yeah.
So let's start at the second source better. What's the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? So the pasuk again in the parsha that we're reading in Israel tomorrow in Amor says, Usfartem lochem mimacharat ha-shabbat, miyom aviyachem et omer atunufa, sheva shabbatot mimotiyana. You have to count from Machrat HaShabbat, right? The famous Machlokas with the Stukim. When that is, you have to count from the second day of Pesach, 49 days. Ad mi Machrat HaShabbat HaShvi'it tisbu chamishim yom, until the morrow of the 49th day, you count 50 days. V'hikravtem mincha chadasha l'Hashem. In the context of Parshas HaMoados, or HaMoadim, in Parshas Amor, there's absolutely nothing sad about this. In fact, it's joyous. It's part of the description of the holidays. First you have Pesach, then you have this period of 49 days, then you bring another Karban on a day that corresponds to the next holiday, to Shavuot. It's so happy, in fact, that if we read the Ramban in source number one, the Ramban has really an incredible insight. It's a little Kabbalistic, but it's worthwhile for us to think of in terms of the mood. Says the Ramban, V'tziva b'chaga matzot shiva yamim b'kidusha lifnehem ul'achareihem. We are commanded to celebrate a holiday of Pesach of 7 days. Ki kulam kidoshim uvutocham Hashem. Again, it's a little opaque because this is a Ramban that's dealing with slightly Kabbalistic ideas, but you know, we can still understand it. Says the Ramban, there's a 7 day holiday called Pesach, a holiday of holiness. And we are to count from that holiday 49 days. Shiva Shavuot Kime Olam. 7 weeks corresponding to the world. The 7 weeks corresponding to the world almost certainly has to do with the fact that the world was created in 7 days. So 7 times 7 is sort of like a super creation, right? If 7 represents the days of creation, so 7 times 7 represents, you know, creation squared, I suppose. V'kadesh yom shmini kishmini shel chag. And we are commanded to sanctify the 8th day as a holiday. What's the 8th day in this Ramban? So you have to be creative. It's not 8 because it's the number after 7. It's 8 because it's the number after 7 times 7, right? Sfiras HaOmer is 7 times 7. The 50th day, therefore, represents 8. 8 being the day right after 7 times 7. Okay? Which day is that? We all know. That's the day we call Shavuot. That's the holiday of Shavuot. Okay? And here's the line. V'hayamim hasfurim bentayim. The days between the start of the count and the end of the count, namely, the days starting with the 2nd day of Pesach until Shavuot, kicholo shel moed bein harishon v'hashmini bechag. They are like chol hamoed, between the 1st day and the 8th day of the holiday. V'hu yom matan Torah sheheram bo et isho hagidolah. Okay, what the Ramban just presented, Kabbalistically at least, is that there aren't really 3 regalim. There are 2. The 2nd one starts on Pesach, includes as Chol HaMoed all of Sfira, and ends on the day after 7 times 7, which is the day we call Shavuot. V'lachein yikru'u rabotenu zal b'chol makom chaga shavuot atzeret. Why do Chazal refer to Shavuos as atzeret? Ki hu ki yom shmini shel chag shekar'u hakatuv kein. Because Shavuos is very much like another holiday which is called atzeret by the Torah, and that's shmini atzeret. So you have Sukkos, which is 7 days long, followed by an 8th day, a holiday called Shmini Atzeret. Now you have Pesach, which is 7 days long, followed just like Sukkos by an 8th day, which is referred to as Atzeret. That 8th day is what we call Shavuot. What makes it the 8th day? Because it's the day after 7 times 7. What is that period of 7 times 7? Says the Ramban, it's like a Chol HaMoed. Okay, we all know Chol HaMoed is a holiday. Chol HaMoed is not a period of Avelut. It's not a period of sadness. It's a period of great happiness. And therefore, you know, I could have brought almost any source to prove this, but originally, there's no doubt that Sfiras HaOmer was a joyous period for the Jewish people. Ad kidei kach, that the Ramban refers to it as a type of Chol HaMoed with this beautiful idea of Pesach being the 1st days of the holiday, Shavuot slash Atzeres being the 8th day of the holiday, with Sfiras HaOmer days being the days in between. Clear? I hope people follow that, because I think it's a really beautiful idea. Now, let's go from there to the basic question of, is Sfiras HaOmer Bizman Hazeh d'oraisa or d'rabana. So let's read source number two. Let's read the two psukim again and ask ourselves the question, if we were deciding, if we were the Rambam, how would we paskin? If we were Tanaim. So again, the psukim say, Usfartem lachem mimacharat ha-shabbat, miyom haviyachem et omer ha-tenufa, sheva shabbatot tmimot tiyana. Okay, what's the key in this pasuk? How do we determine whether Sfiras Omer Bizman Hazeh is d'oraisa or d'rabanan from this pasuk? The pasuk says you should count 49 days, 7 full weeks from Yom Haviachem et Omer Atunufa. Somebody give me two ways of reading those words. Mi Yom Haviachem et Omer Atunufa. Oh, come on. Anybody could do this. Okay, the simple question is, how do you read those words? We should count from Yom HaViyachem et Omer HaTnufa. Do we count from the day of the bringing of the Karban HaOmer? If we count from the day of the bringing of the Karban HaOmer, then it's obvious. We don't bring a Karban HaOmer Bizman HaZeh. And Sfira Sa'omer, then Bizman HaZeh, can only be Dirabanan. Right? Ad mi machrat ha-shabbat ha-shvit tizkru 50 yom v'ikravtem mincha chadash al Hashem. Until the 50th day, then you bring another carbon. Once again, if it's contingent on the carbon, so then the mitzvah doesn't apply Bizman HaZeh. And all we have left is a Dirabanan to remember the Doraisa. The other possibility is, no, we're counting miyom haviyachem et omer atnufa. That's just a way of describing the date. The date is the second day of Pesach. The Torah could have written usfartem lachem miyom hasheni ba Pesach shehu yom haviyachem et omer atnufa. That happens to be the day, but that's not the cause. The cause is it's the second day of Pesach. You understand the difference? According to one, without the Karban HaOmer, there's no Sfiras HaOmer. According to the other reading, the Torah is just describing the day. The day is the second day of Pesach, but that's not the cause. The day is the day that you bring a Karban called the Karban HaOmer. But that's not the cause. The cause is the second day of Pesach. The Torah just identifies it as the day on which we bring the Karban HaOmer. Okay, hopefully people see that. There are two ways, there's a major machlokas whether Sfiras HaOmer Bizman HaZeh is d'oraisa or d'rabanan, and it's simply, it all comes down to how do you read the pasuk. If you read the pasuk as I have to count from the bringing of the Karban HaOmer, then of course Sfiras HaOmer Bizman HaZeh is d'rabanan, because we don't bring a Karban HaOmer. However, if the Torah is commanding us to count from the day that the Karban HaOmer is brought, not from the actual bringing of the Karban HaOmer, but from the date on which the Karban HaOmer is brought, then there's no reason why Sfiras HaOmer is not d'oraisa bizman hazeh, because the day still exists. It happens to be that we don't bring the Karban anymore, but the day still exists. Okay? So, it's a major machlokes, whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabanan. The machlokes may be understood in two ways of reading the pasuk. It's also possible that the machlokes is understood in two ways of understanding a gemara in Menachos, Samach Vav Amud Aleph, where everything comes back to. Source number three, Gufa, Amar Abaye, Mitzvah Lemimne Yomei U'Mitzvah Lemimne Shavuei. Abaye says, there is a mitzvah to count the days, and there is a mitzvah to count the weeks. Rabbanan devei Ravashi, mani yomei umani shavuei. The Gemara brings support for the sheet of Abaye by saying this group of people did as Abaye said. They count days and they count weeks, which is what we do, right? Hayom esrim yom, shehem shnei shavuos, the weeks, vishisha, Hayom esrim yom, those are the days. Shehem Shinei Shavuot V'Shisha Yamim La'Omer. That second part is the weeks. Okay, who disagrees? Ameimar. Ameimar Mani Yomi V'Lo Mani Shavue. Ameimar said, no, I count the days, I don't count the weeks. Why not? Amar Zecher L'Mikdashu. A very, very strange shita. Rashi explains, what's his shita? Omar, hai minyana dahashta lav chovahu. The count bisman hazeh is not obligatory. Why not? As we said already, dahaleka omer. There is no karban haomer bisman hazeh. Therefore, counting sfira haomer cannot be obligatory. Can't be doraisa. Rather, ela zeche lemikdash ba'almahu. It is a remembrance of the Beis HaMikdash. Hilkach biyomei sagi. Therefore, it's sufficient to count only the days and not the weeks. Okay? That's a bizarre shita. And many people point this out. Ameimar is saying, listen, it's only a drabanan bizman hazeh. And if it's only a drabanan bizman hazeh, why do the whole thing? It's not so serious. So therefore, instead of saying days and weeks, which I agree is the mitzvah d'oraisa, Ameimar says, you know, it's enough bizman hazeh to just do the days and not the weeks. That's completely bizarre. Because when we do drabanans bizman hazeh, we do them fully. An example that we'll come back to. After the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a gzeira that now that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, we should take lulav and esrog all days of the holiday, right? Bizman hazeh, we know that we take lulav and esrog, we take dalad, meaning the first day of Sukkos, min ha-Torah, ulekachtem lachem bayom harishon, pri eitz hadar, kapos tovim, etc. The rest of the days of Sukkos, we take dalad minim as a remembrance of the fact that the mitzvah existed for 7 days in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay? Now, according to Ameimar, the gzeira should have been, you know what? We want to remember the Beis HaMikdash, but it's just a zeichel of Beis HaMikdash. So you know what? Let's just take lulav. Let's not bother to take an esrog. Let's not bother to take hadasim and aravos. That's essentially what Ameimar is saying. Since it's just a zeicher, we're just going to do part of the mitzvah. That's not something we find elsewhere in halacha. It doesn't make any sense. Is it so overwhelmingly difficult to also say the weeks? Ameimar is cutting us some slack and saying, you know what? Don't work too hard. It's just a drabanan. You know what? Just do the days and not the weeks. That's not where we need help. You know, if Ameimar showed up and said, you know what? Chicken and milk is only drabanan. You know, don't wait 6 hours. You can wait 1 hour. I would have appreciated that. That would change my life. But to say, you know what, it's only drabanan, count the days and not the weeks, doesn't make any sense. Okay, that's the question we want to come back to, because it's a fundamental question. In terms of the machlokas of d'oraisa drabanan, the general assumption is, in the Gemara, we're in source 3 still, that Abaye says count days and weeks because it's d'oraisa, and Ameimar says, no, I'm only going to count days and not weeks because it's drabanan. Okay, let's go with that reading. Otherwise, we'll get confused. Okay, so there were two ways to read the psukim. Presumably, those two ways are reflected in two shitos in the Gemara. Abaye saying it's d'oraisa, Ameimar saying it's drabanan, which makes complete sense. What doesn't make any sense is Ameimar saying, well, since it's only drabanan, we're only going to do part of the mitzvah. Okay, we'll come back to that. But let's go to source number 4. How does the Rambam paskin? So the Rambam at the very end of Hilchos Tmidim u'Musaf in Perek Zayin Halacha Chaf Bet says the following. Mitzvat asei lispor sheva shabbatot tmimot miyom hava'at ha'omer. There is a mitzvah, I want to say there's a mitzvah d'oraisa. The assumption here is that the Rambam thinks it's a d'oraisa. We'll see in a second. To count 7 full weeks from the day of the bringing of the Omer. Miyom hava'at ha'omer, shenemar usfartem lachem imachat ha'shabbat, Sheva Shabbatot. U'mitzvah limnot hayamim im hashavuot. The Rambam is following Abaye. Mitzvah l'mimni yome u'mitzvah l'mimni shavuot. You have to do both. Hayamim hashavuot. Shenemar tisperu chamishim yom. U'mitchilat hayom monim. Lefikach mona balayla milel shisha asar b'nisan. Says the Rambam, you're supposed to count full days. Therefore, it makes sense to count at night, because the day begins at night. Therefore, says the Rambam, we're not just counting 49 days. We want to count 49 full days. So to count full days, you want to count at night. My sense in the Rambam is you want to count as early in the night as you can. Obviously, you need to wait for it to be nightfall. But, you know, my sense is, and I haven't seen this inside at all. You know, generally speaking, we count as part of Maariv, even though Sfira Samar has nothing to do with Maariv. My assumption is that people used to daven Maariv in the beginning of the night. You know, I'd be curious to see if anybody's seen anything inside. I don't know, you know, if it's 8:30 at night and you're going to the 10 o'clock Maariv, I don't know, is it still 10:01? I forget. But, you know, it could be.
Yes, it's still 10:01 and 11 o'clock.
Thank God. Some things don't develop in halacha. Okay? So it could be, if you remember it at 8:30, you should count at 8:30. The minog is otherwise. Last night, as it happens, we went someplace and we missed Maariv. But we came in time to count Sfira Sa'oma with the Tzibur. Then after the shir, we daven Maariv. Right? It seemed to me correct. Now, there could be a value in counting with the Tzibur, in which case, you know, waiting to count as part of Maariv allows you to count with a minyan. But the Rambam does seem to emphasize the idea of counting at the beginning of the night. Okay, let's look at the second Rambam, Halacha Chaf Dalet. Says the Rambam, mitzvah zo al kol ish mi Yisrael, u bechol makom, u bechol zman, v'nashim v'avadim piturin mimena. Here's where it's clear. The Rambam says it's a mitzvah d'oraisa at all times, right? You can't miss it. Kol ish mi Yisrael, u bechol makom, u bechol zman. You might have thought perhaps it's only d'oraisa in Eretz Yisrael, like the mitzvah of Omer itself. You might have thought it's only when the Beis HaMikdash exists, says the Rambam. No, it's d'oraisa bizman hazeh. Clearly, the Rambam believes that the pasuk in source number 2 of counting miyom haviyachem et omer atenufa is not from the bringing of the karban, it's from the day on which the karban can be brought.
Eli, to your previous point, usually most mitzvahs that we have, we're not supposed to do anything until we're mekayim that mitzvah. Hadlakas neiros.
Correct.
You know, this correct. Is...
So it could be either because it's 49 nights in a row, and to ask you not to eat supper 49 nights in a row is a lot to ask, or you might be right. It just falls in, let's put it this way. I think many people here, and I respect everybody here, on a normal night, if they're going to the 10:01 Maariv, they might eat dinner before Maariv, right? Probably, halachically, you know, you need to find some way around that. Well, someone's going to remind you to daven Maariv, but for the most part, I don't think we take very seriously the idea of not doing something before Maariv on most nights, even though Henry's right, right? It's the halacha. So for example, the better example is Bedikas Chametz. So yes, I don't think people eat dinner before Bedikas Chametz because the halacha is clear that you're not supposed to, because we're afraid of starting something that might distract you and might cause you to miss a mitzvah. That mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz is something we do immediately. But that's just a general din in like mitzvah baliyotcha al tachmitzena uzrizin makdimin lemitzvos. What the Rambam says is count at the beginning of the night, not because that's what frum people do, because you want to do the mitzvah as soon as you can. The Rambam says count at the beginning of the night because tumimos means two different things. Means counting to 50 without missing and counting full days, right? If you count at 2 in the morning, you count with a bracha, but the Rambam's pointing out you didn't count a full day. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not a suffix in halacha. Everybody agrees. that if you remember at 2 a.m, you can count with a bracha. But the Rambam is saying that's not ideal, because ideally you want to count a full day. You want to get 24 hours in if you can, which really means, you know, davening Maariv as early as you can and counting at that Maariv. Okay, now it's a little different. No, in Israel, in Chutzlars, in Tinek, certainly, right, Mincha Maariv on a regular day is Mincha before Shkia, Maariv after Shkia. So that's kind of, that's a little problematic in terms of counting Sfiras HaOmer, because it's not nightfall yet. Okay, it's interesting in Israel, because the time difference between Shkia and Seis is half what it is in North America, right? In Tinek, it's about 40 minutes from Shkia to Tseita Kochavim. In Israel, it's about 20 minutes. So in Israel, pretty much nobody davens Mincha before Shkia and Maariv after Shkia. In almost every shul, there's Mincha. Then there's a 20-minute break. And then you daven Maariv after nightfall. So here, everybody counts Sfiras HaOmer as part of Maariv, even if they daven at, quote-unquote, the early Maariv. Okay. Let's move on to a famous Baal HaMor. This Baal HaMor asks almost all of the basic questions that anybody asks about Sfiras HaOmer. And the Baal HaMor gives away really a fundamental understanding of Sfiras HaOmer, which will help us discuss the major point that I want to discuss. Source number 5. Says the Baal HaMor, Ubisfiras HaOmer yesh shoalin. Ma ta'am ein anu omrim bozman. Says the Baal HaMor, I have a question. We have a general rule. It applies across the board. Whenever you do a mitzvah that comes from time to time, lulav, sukkah, shofar, matzah, megillah, hadlakas neros, chanukah, whenever you do a mitzvah that comes from time to time, the first time you do it, you make the bracha of Shechiyanu. The Baal HaMor asks, where's the Shechiyanu on Sfiras HaOmer? Okay, it's a good question. That's his first question. Second, Va'od. Ma ta'am einanu sofrim below bracha b'yom tov sheni shel Pesach. Wait, says the Baal HaMor, shouldn't we in Chutz La'aretz on the first night of Sfiras HaOmer, when we're about to have a second Seder, and we know there's a Sveika Diyoma, shouldn't we not make a bracha? He says it's just like sitting in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Kid Amrin on the Inyan Sukkah B'Shmini, Safek Shvi, right? Shmini Atzeres in Chutz La'aretz is Shmini Safek Shvi. We don't know what day it is. The Gemara says, Mesav Yasvinan. We sit in a sukkah, bruche lo mevarchina, but we don't make a bracha. Why not? Mipnei shebirchas ha-sukkah omedes kineged kiddush hayom, hachanami birchas ha-omer omedes kineged kiddush hayom. He says, it's exactly the same suffix. Why don't we make a bracha leshev basukkah on sitting on a sukkah in a sukkah in Shmini Atzeres? The answer is, because it's in contradiction to it being Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres means I no longer sit in a sukkah. It's a separate holiday. So the Gemara says, you know what? Compromise. Sit in a sukkah, but don't make a bracha. Says to the Baal HaMor, how do we have a second Seder and make a bracha on Sfiras HaOmer? If we're counting Sfiras HaOmer, it means it's no longer the holiday of Pesach. So the Baal HaMor says, I don't get it. We should adopt the same custom and on the first night of Sfiras HaOmer not make a bracha, because the bracha stands in contradiction to having a second Seder. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, it's a really interesting point. This is also a great example of something Rav Soloveitchik Derav talked about. We put way too much emphasis on making brachos. And I'll explain what I mean. If I ask people in this group, you know, how many people don't sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, I'm sure plenty of people would raise their hands. Okay? Now, each of you needs to know, and Rabbi Silverberg certainly does knows already, that you're acting against the Gemara. It's not even a machlokas in the Gemara. The Gemara says, here's what you should do on Shmini Atzeres. You have to sit in a sukkah, but you should not make a bracha. So how is it that Jews stopped sitting in a sukkah? So Rav Soloveitchik said, here's where you see the power of making a bracha. Jews assume, and we are from Jews, that without making a bracha, there's no mitzvah. How much could it matter? How obligatory could it be to sit in a sukkah if I'm not even making a bracha? Now, the answer is it can be completely obligatory because I can be yotzei a mitzvah d'oraisa without making a bracha. I'll give you an example that I think is a good one. When I was a kid, okay, depending on the various ranges of ages here, most people remember that after the Yom Kippur War, where there was an oil embargo against America for supporting Israel in the war, okay? And President Nixon decided to not cancel daylight savings time because if it got darker later, we would save money on energy, less heating, less light, okay? I remember that. Now, when you don't change back from daylight savings in the winter, NATES is very late. The sunrise, you know, gets to be like around 8 o'clock or maybe 8:15 in the morning. That makes it impossible for people to daven shachris at 6 and maybe even at 6:30, because it's not just before the nates, it's before Zman Tfilin. It's pitch black outside. And Rav Moshe Feinstein paskened, and a lot of people had this problem because a lot of people, you know, used to daven early to go to work. Rav Moshe Paskin, a huge kula, he said that, you know what, people are getting up for work anyway, right? Usually the fear of wearing tefillin at night is that you might fall asleep. Rav Moshe said, you get up in the morning, you get dressed, you go to work. Yes, it's pitch black out. You know what? You could put on tefillin anyway. Okay? Elamai. Rav Moshe said, you know what, just to be incredibly careful, put on tefillin at the early minyan in the morning, daven. But during the course of the day, if you get a chance, you know, close the door to your office, put on tefillin. Okay, that way you'll be sure, right? You don't have to daven. Tefillin is not a din in davening. It might be a din in kriyashma, but it's not a din in general davening. So that's the best way to do it. Now, when do you make a bracha on tefillin? So you might have thought, well, if you put on tefillin in the early morning when it's still dark, but you're going to put it on later in the afternoon when it's bright daylight, I'll make a bracha in the afternoon because that's when I'm sure I'll be yotzei. But I won't make a bracha in the morning, safek bracha levatala, because it's dark out. Said Rav Moshe, no, put on tefillin in the morning in the dark and make a bracha. Why? So the Torah Sheba Alpeh on the Rav Moshe Tshuva goes as follows. Rav Moshe understood that if he paskin that you could put on tefillin in the morning, but you should not make a bracha, people wouldn't do it because they would think incorrectly that what's the point of putting on tefillin without making a bracha? It doesn't make any sense. I'm not really getting the mitzvah. The bracha is what matters the most. It doesn't really. But that's what people would say. So Moshe Feinstein Paskin put on tefillin in the dark in the morning, making a bracha. Of course, you'll make a bracha later in the afternoon. There's nothing wrong with making two brachas on tefillin. Okay? But that was all based on the understanding that people would not take seriously the idea of putting on tefillin if they didn't make a bracha on the tefillin. Much like people don't take seriously the idea of sitting in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres and Chutz La'aretz, because there's no bracha. Because we assume the bracha is what matters. And of course, that's not the case. We should make brachas, of course, but you could be yotzei any mitzvah d'oraisa without a bracha. Which leads me to the related point here, which is, it's true that we paskin that if you miss a night of Sfiras HaOmer, the rest of the nights can only be counted without a bracha. Okay, that's a bizarre psak, but that is the psak. But what's sad is that when a person misses a night, he becomes 50% more likely to miss another night. You know why? Because he's out. What does it mean to be out? Every time that you count, you get a mitzvah. There's no such thing as, you know, because I can't make a bracha, I'm not getting a mitzvah. When when somebody asks you, what's tonight? And you're afraid to say 21. Okay, well, and even if it's tonight, you're afraid to say why? Because you might be yotzei the mitzvah without having made the bracha. Well, of course you'd be yotzei the mitzvah. You don't need the bracha to be yotzei the mitzvah. And we fall into this trap. Well, I'm out, so what's the point of counting Sfiras HaOmer anymore if I can't make the bracha? The answer is because you're counting Sfiras HaOmer, right? The whole idea of us going to all this trouble to say last night was, or to not reveal what tonight is specifically based on the point that you can be yotzei the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer without the bracha, right? The world's, I think the first Jewish joke I ever heard was, you know, the Baal Tshuva comes home and he says to his wife, what's for dinner? And she says, last night we had chicken, right? The whole idea of not saying tonight is based on the understanding that you can be yotzei the mitzvah without a bracha. So that's something we should keep in mind. Now let's go back to the Baal HaMor. So again, two questions so far. One, why do we say Shehechiyanu? Two, why do we make a bracha if there's a Sfeika Diyoma? Okay. Next question. Where the cursor is. Third question. Va'od. Ma tam ein anu sofrim shtei sfirot mi safek. Shouldn't we, if it's a Sfeika Diyoma, says the Baal HaMor, shouldn't we count alternative numbers? Right? Tonight is either 20 or 21. Kimo shanu osim Yom Tov Sheni Misafek. Just like we count, we have Yom Tov Sheni on Pesach because we don't know what day it is. How could it be that all of a sudden now we know exactly what day it is of Sfiras HaOmer? So what's the answer to all these questions? Yes, Uklalo Shel Davar Ein Lanu Lehachmir B'Sfirat HaOmer She'eino Ela L'Zecher Ba'Alma. We don't need to be so careful with respect to Sfiras HaOmer because it's only a Zecher Ba'alma. It's just a remembrance. V'hachin asikna beduchta b'menachos. This is what the Gemara says in Menachos, the Gemara we read on top. Da ameim ramani yomi v'lomani shivuei amar Zecher l'mikdashu. Ameim ramani said, I count only days, not weeks. It's only Zecher l'mikdashu. And even though we in fact count days and weeks, minhahu biyadenu, that's just a minhag. Avalahatino zman, but to require a brach of shechianu ein lanu, we're not going to go that far. Va'od shalom matzinu birchas zman, ela bidavar sheyesh bo shum hana'a. The only time we make a shechianu is on a bracha that brings us joy, that brings us pleasure. Kigon netilat lulav shehubal simcha, take lulav is joyous. Ut kiat shofar lezikaron ben Yisrael laviyem shebashamayim, blowing shofar is joyous. Umikra megillah dechas rachman alanu parkinan, right? When we read the Megillah, we're joyful. God saved us. Upidyon haben, we make a bracha, we make a pidyon haben, a shechiyanu, shemivarech avi haben shechiyanu, right? In the old days, you know, the infant mortality rate was high. After 30 days, there was a sense that this child is going to live. It's like if you're afraid of flying, when they turn off the seatbelt sign after takeoff, you're pretty good, you know, you're pretty well off. You can start celebrating. That's what Pidyon HaBen was. After 30 days, you're no longer a nefel, and now us. Ulisfirat haomer, ein bo zecher l'shum hana'a. Sfiras haomer is not joyful. Elo la'agmat nafshenu l'churban beit ma'avayenu. Svira sa'omer, says the Balamor, is sad. And for sad things, we don't make a bracha of Shechiyanu. Now, the Rav used this Balamor to explain the Gemara that we didn't understand on top. Remember in source number 3, Amei mar mani yomei velo mani shvuei, amar zecher lemikdash hu. So we asked, so what? It's zecher lemikdash, but why not count days and weeks? The Balamor seems to be saying that after Churban Beis HaMikdash, on its own, nothing to do with Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, nothing to do with any external historical events, on its own, Svira Sa'omer became a sad mitzvah because it reminded us of Churban Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, Chazal limited the mitzvah. Chazal limited the mitzvah in the sense that it's not just that we don't have to count according to Ameimar days and weeks. Ameimar says, don't count weeks. It'll remind you of the fact that because of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Sfira Sa'om Bizman says, not only Drabanan, it's sad. It reminds us of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, how do we know that it's sad, or why is it sad? Why can't it be happy? So the Rav said, there are two different contexts in which we remember the Beis HaMikdash. And there are two different psukim, and there are two different sources. One is joyously, one is sadly. Source number 6. I referenced this before. The Mishnah says, Barishon ha'yalulav nital b'mikdash shiva. Originally, Dalad Minim were taken in the Beis HaMikdash all 7 days of Sukkos. Ubimedina Yom Echad, but outside of the Beis HaMikdash, only one day. Mishechara Beis HaMikdash, one of the first gezeros made in Yavne, by Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai, maybe the first move towards what people refer to now as Rabbinic Judaism, Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai Hiskin, Shehe Lulav Nital Bimedina Shiva, Zecher LeMikdash. Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai came along and said, you know what, we missed the Beis HaMikdash. From now on, everybody should take lulav all 7 days of the holiday, just like we used to do in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, Minalan Davdinan Zecher LeMikdash. Who told Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai that there is such an idea of remembering the Beis HaMikdash? Something we take for granted. Rabbi Yochanan, the Amakra, the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Ki Ela Arukalach Umimakotecha Erpaechnu Mashem. Kini decha karulach tzion hi doresh ein la. Says the Gemara, tzion hi doresh ein la. Nobody is seeking out tzion. Michlal debaya drisha. The Gemara learns from that pasuk that tzion, the Beis HaMikdash, needs somebody to be doresh it. We are supposed to affirmatively remind ourselves of the Beis HaMikdash. Another example, source number 7. Everybody at their Seder had Korech. And everybody said, you know, Zecher LeMikdash Kehillel, Kein Asa Hillel Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Hayakayim, Hayakorech, Pesach Matzah Omar, or just Matzah Omar, Biachad, right? Lekayim Mashenemar Al Matzot Umarim Yochluvu. Did anybody feel sad when they did that? The answer is no. It's Zecher LeMikdash. Zecher LeMikdash is joyous. Zecher LeMikdash is reminding us of the glory of the Beis HaMikdash. We're reminded of how great life used to be, not in a sad way, but in a happy way. It's Lahavdil, you know, it's reminding after somebody passes away. Once the pain passes, you remember happy times with the person. It doesn't make you cry, it doesn't make you sad. You remember how great life was. What's the opposite? The opposite is not Zecher LeMikdash. It's something we call Zecher LeChurban. Source number 8. The Gemara in Baba Basra was talking about how we remember the Beis HaMikdash. Alakach amu chachamim. Sad adam et beito besid. You plaster, you paint the inside of your house. Umishayer bo davar muat. You leave a certain place unplastered or unpainted. Right? In Israel, almost everybody does this. Okay, v'kama, how much? Amar of Yosef, amo al amo. A space, you know, symbolic. One amo by one amo. Amar of Chizda, kineged ha-pesach. Okay, you should do it opposite the door. What is the source for this? It's a bunch of other examples, but we're running out of time, so we'll skip. Amar Rav, shenemar, im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yimini, tidbak lishoni v'chikim, lo azkerechi, etc., etc. Two sources for two opposite emotions. The first is Tzion hi doresh ein la, michlal debaya drisha. We are obligated to remember the Beis HaMikdash, but that's happy. That's koresh, okay? That's taking a lulav on Sukkos. That's joyous. That's remembering the Beis HaMikdash in its splendor. Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yimini, that's zecher l'chorban. That's remembering Yerushalayim in its destruction. That's sad. That, for some reason, is the context in which we recite Sfiras HaOmer bizman hazeh. When we recite Sfiras HaOmer, we're reminded of what we're missing. What we're missing is the Karban HaOmer. What we're missing is the Shtei Alechem. We're not about to celebrate Sukkos. We're not starting counting the Omer the way it was intended to be, because we're missing the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why you look in Source 9, here's Tosfos at the beginning of Megillah, U'bahag kasav, te'hecha de'inish levarach balayla yimna l'machar below bracha. This is our psak halacha. If you forgot to count at night, you count the next day without a bracha. V'chein halacha. Avalim shachach layla v'yom, but if you forgot a full day, lo yimna od bibracha, you can't count it with a bracha anymore. Debina tumimos veleka va'acha shebirecha lasfira. After you count it on sfira, omer yehi ratzon sheibane beit hamikdash b'merav yameinu. Ma she'ein kein b'tkias shofar v'lulav. Right, when we blow shofar, when we take a lulav, not on the first day, we don't say afterwards yehi ratzon sheibane beit hamikdash b'merav yameinu. Hainu taima lefi she'ein ela hazkara ata lebinyan beit hamikdash ava l'shofar v'lulav yesh asiya. He says there's a difference between mitzvos that are done zecher l'mikdash. Shofar and lulav are joyous. Shofar and lulav are tzion hi doresh ein la. We're supposed to remember the splendor of the Beis HaMikdash. But the Karban HaOmer, Sfiras HaOmer, doesn't involve an action. It's just a recitation. And that's why the minhag developed, says Tosfos. Again, it's not some minhag from Hasidim in the 1800s. This is Tosfos, the Balei Ashkenaz, in the 1200s saying, we say after Sfiras HaOmer, Yiratzon sheyibaneh Beit HaMikdash b'mheirav yameinu, because we're sad. Because Sfiras HaOmer is a reminder of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It's not a reminder of the glory of the Beis HaMikdash, right? It's like remembering the person who passed away on their last day when they were ill. Those are unpleasant memories. When you remember that person when in their full strength, when they had all their mental capacities, when life was great, that's a happy memory. And so what happened is, if we just, you know, go back through the sources, why don't we say a Shehecheyanu on Sfiras HaOmer? The answer is because it's not a happy mitzvah, right? That's really the answer. Why does Ameimar say don't do the full mitzvah? Because the way Ameimar sees it, when you count days and not weeks, you'll remind yourself that you're not living in the world the way it's supposed to be, right? We may have lost track of the fact that we're not living in the world the way it's supposed to be. Not religiously, and maybe not politically either. Right? It's not just that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, it's that, you know, without getting too political, you know, we face a war if you want to go on the Har Bayis Bizman Hazeh. Sfiras HaOmer is supposed to remind us of that. It's supposed to remind us of the fact that we're not living life the way it's supposed to be. We're living a life that's less than it's supposed to be, and we're supposed to remind ourselves of that, right? for the most part, we've lost track of that. For the most part, we assume that we're living the life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live. And the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is supposed to remind us of the fact that we're not. And Sfiras HaOmer stands as an example, I think, of something that we generally lose track of, which is halacha is not just do's and don'ts. Halacha has a lot of emotion behind it. How we relate to mitzvos is supposed to reflect our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are mitzvos that are supposed to make us happy, and there are mitzvos like Sfiras HaOmer, according to the Rav at least, based on the Baal HaMoed, that's supposed to make us sad. How do I know that? Well, I'm not going to make a Shechiyanu. I'm not going to bother counting Sveika Diyoma. I'm not going to bother counting days and weeks together because I want to remind myself of what I'm missing. Sfiras HaOmer started as a joyous mitzvah. There's no question about it. You read the Mishnayos about Sfiras HaOmer. It was a joyous ceremony. We're supposed to remind ourselves of the fact that we're missing all of that Bizman Hazeh. Every once in a while, we need to step back and ask ourselves whether we're living the life fully that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to live. And to imagine for a second that one of the ways to do that is by limiting our mitzvah observance, right? Our instinct is, of course, we'll count Sfiras HaOmer days and weeks. And if you asked me, okay, if I lived in Chutz Laaretz, I'll count Sveika Diyoma. Tonight, I'll say it's 21 or 20. I don't really know. But the halacha says, no, don't invest so much in Sfira, because Sfira is supposed to remind us of what we're missing. What we're missing is a Beis HaMikdash. What we're missing is the ability to know exactly what day it is in the Omer. That's something we're supposed to feel. And so behind the Maisa HaMitzvah, oftentimes is hiding a lot of emotion. Oftentimes is hiding, you know, a metaphor for my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm not urging people to be sad tonight when you count 21, but there does seem to be a sense in Rishonim. We're not talking Achronim, we're not talking, you know, nowadays. We're talking in Rishonim. There does seem to be a sense that Sfiras HaOmer is limited by the fact that we're missing the Karbanos that are the cause of Sfiras HaOmer Bizman Hazeh. My sense is that in Israel, the tide is turning. And, you know, some of you may think this is great. Some of you may think this is, you know, this is non-halachic. But it's hard when you have Yom HaAtzmaut, Lag BaOmer, and Yom Yerushalayim in such close proximity. You know, it's hard to maintain the sense that we're in a period of mourning. Mostly because, you know, two of those do speak of a step in the right direction. You know, I don't know whether the state of Israel is Reshit Smichat. I don't know any of these things. But it's hard not to see it as a major positive. It's hard not to see it as a step in the right direction. And so I feel like if you're a genuinely religious person and you're asking yourself, you know, what does Sfiras HaOmer mean to me? I think there's a bit of a sense nowadays in Israel that it means something slightly different than it used to, right? We're not counting in Prague, you know, in the 1400s. We're not counting in Germany in the early 20th century. We're counting in Yerushalayim. We're counting in Gush Etzion. Something is happening that seems to bring us closer to a day when we'll count Mida Oraisa days and weeks. And according to the Baal HaMoed, I suppose, we'll start saying Shechiyanu in a way that we don't anymore, because we will then be doing the mitzvah in its fullest. And so on the one hand, Sfiras HaOmer exists according to its own rules. But on the other hand, the bigger point I'm trying to make is that Sfiras HaOmer is not an exception to the general rules of halacha. Sfiras HaOmer is a really good example of a mitzvah that has behind it a history and a development that was joyous, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaKayam, that then became a mitzvah, which is zecher l'churban, something that's sad, something that's limited, and one day, God willing, will once again be a joyous mitzvah. Yashkach to everybody. Shabbat shalom. And we'll meet again next Friday.